You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Right now you're Fredo. But, you know, with some sound advice and the proper introductions, who knows? I'll tell you one thing, you've got the right product. Anything that gets the DEA's panties in this big a bunch, you're on to something special. And I would like to be a small and silent part of it. Food for thought, yeah? So if you want to make more money and keep the money that you make, better call Saul.
Who could forget that iconic scene in television history when Saul Goodman meets Walter White in Breaking Bad for the first time? Really some of the greatest television ever produced. It's a show that never lost its steam from debut pilot to series finale. A very enjoyable television program. Doesn't have anything to do with our issues, of course, but it was enjoyable entertainment nonetheless. And that was, there's a spinoff to that show that you probably know, Better Call Saul, and we're going to have our spinoff to that. Tonight, our broadcast will be Better Call Paul. We've got three guests coming your way tonight, three very good friends, Paul Angel, Paul Ramsey, and Paul Fromm in hours 1, 2, and 3. Better Call Paul. But, of course, Keith Alexander in the Bible, Saul is Paul. So that kind of helps us out, don't you think?
Definitely does.
I was wondering how many more Pauls we could put on the program tonight. We could go Paul Craig Roberts. We could have Paul Nalen, Paul Gottfried, all appeared on this program in the past, some more than others, but maybe we'll do another one next week. I don't know. But
well,
hey,
one of your favorite recording artists, Paul Anka. We ought to have him on sometime.
Well, I don't know if he's going to make it, but nevertheless, who doesn't love Diana? We may have to fire that one up in a minute now that you put it, be in my bonnet for that. But listen, excited to have all of the Pauls. It's the All Paul Show tonight, and that's coming on the heels of really, I think, one of the greatest broadcasts we've ever done. I don't say that lightly, but I have heard that from a lot of people. I think every show we do is good, obviously. I don't do anything unless I think it's going to be something worthwhile for the audience, but I really felt as though something special was building last week during the live show from South Carolina. Back home tonight in the studio, but I want to say hello again to all the guys over there who made that show possible, everybody that was in attendance, everybody that was on the air with us. It was just really quintessential TPC. And Keith, I know you enjoyed it as well.
Oh, yeah. I love the shows that we do remotely. You know, those are the quintessential good people, as far as I'm concerned. They're what we need.
Courtney from Alabama, of course, one of our mainstay friends and contributors, said, just finished the show. Wow, James, I'm blown away. This is the type of talk that attracts me. I'm being serious. I hear a bunch of men taking the lead. When women hear this, they feel protected. It has honestly been such a long time since I heard this many people speak, and not one of them goes into a negative rant about white women and blaming it on them. I'm talking about shows across the board in our movement, this is a breath of fresh air. This South Carolina show is wonderful, very powerful. So I think, that's what we were going for, and it just so happened to blend together the guys that we paired up and the contributions that they made to that program. Don't want to dwell on it because we did the 3 hours last week, but just wanted to open the show again by tipping a hat to the contributors last week and everybody in the audience who sent back such correspondence, very similar to Courtney. We're glad you all tuned in and you all listened to that. But, Keith, now that we're back, we have to get back to, I guess, the regular show, as it would be. And a familiar topic is back in the news, my friend, is it not? It is the news story that never runs dry. How many years are we now here? About 75 years into this? The Emmett Till, more breaking news on Emmett Till, and not just a little bit. There is a rash of Emmett Till news stories that are percolating in the press. So let's start there tonight, Keith Alexander.
Well, I had a preview about this. I knew what was going on back in 2017. I got a notice about a presentation by a new author about the Emmett Till story, and it was held in the Hardy Auditorium at Rhodes College, where I attended undergraduate school. And I could tell in that they had a black woman who was just filled with vengeful hatred for Carolyn Milam. And I said, they're going to go after her just like Jews go after supposed Nazi war criminals. I'm thinking.
And remind everybody who this woman is.
Carolyn Milam was the wife of Roy Milam, who is one of the people that killed Emmett Till. There was supposedly an incident at the grocery store that the Milams owned in Money, Mississippi, involving Emmett Till, that would have qualified in today's parlance as sexual harassment or maybe even sexual assault. But Emmett Till was a young 14 kid from Chicago.
Why was he in Keith, if you don't mind? We've talked about this before, but very quickly, remind us why he was even in Mississippi and not in Chicago.
Well, he was in Mississippi because his mother found him to be a handful, and so did his other relatives up there, and they thought that sending him down south to live with his grandparents, a black preacher named Moses Wright, would have a good effect on him because he was quite frankly getting off the chain and looked like he might be headed towards a life of crime and problems with the law, just like his father, who was hung in the U.S. military. They were at the time of the, you know, big hubbub around 1955 about his murder. They were saying that his father was a World War II decorated veteran. Well, what he was a black soldier, GI, who had been convicted and found guilty of raping and killing two Italian women. And for those crimes, he was hung. And, you know, they say the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. I think that his relatives were concerned to see the path that he was going down. So they sent him to Mississippi to get straightened out by his strict grandfather. That's how he wound up in Money, Mississippi. But his mother had warned him that there were different protocols to be followed regarding race relations in Mississippi. And she warned the grandfather to tell him all about that. She told him herself. But apparently he was cocky enough to think that he could flout these things. He was bragging to the other kids down there, the other black kids that he was encountering, about how he had had sex with white women, and they were a bunch of chickens for not doing that themselves. And they said, you're crazy, you'll never do that. And somebody apparently challenged him to do that to Mrs. Milam at the grocery store, the Milam grocery store in Money, Mississippi. And he did it. There's a really good article about it that sets it all out by William Bradford Huey. We'll talk about that after these words.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Okay, we're talking about Emmett Till here very quickly before we bring on the first of three Pauls tonight. Paul Angel will be with us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Barnes Review. But I want to tell you, we made mention that there are some Emmett Till breaking news stories in the making the headlines again, some 75 years later or however long it's been, approximately.
67
and,
years.
Well, here's one of them. Here's one of them, and I got to get to this one. So this is in the Daily Mail, so this is international news. This is over in the U.K., and there's a group of black terrorists, let's just call them what they are, and they're going to homes where they believe this 88-year-old woman who you were talking about in the previous segment, Carolyn Bryant Donham, they believe she may be living. And so you've got this group of blacks, and I'm looking at a picture that appeared in this newspaper of them banging on the door of a home that they believe that this 88-year-old woman may be residing in, and they are dressed very, very threateningly. They're wearing bulletproof vest, tactical gear, Black Panthers patches, sunglasses, and berets. And there's a group of them standing at the door, banging on the door. The caption of the picture reads, chanting Black Power slogans on Wednesday, this was last week, a group stormed three addresses in which they believe the 88-year-old woman might have moved, having quietly slipped away from her previous home. And the leader of this paramilitary group that's trying to hunt down this 88-year-old senior citizen, this elderly, infirm lady, writes, they put Nazi war criminals in prison when they're very old, don't they? So then why not her? Well, why not her? Why not her? Well, that's, hey, number one, she didn't murder anybody. This kid was certainly murdered. And I don't want to be murdered. I don't want anybody else to be murdered. But you know what? I don't care about Emmett Till. I don't care about him one bit. Now, when the media spends 75 years talking about the death of Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom, or the death of that little boy, Connor Hynant, who was shot in the back of the head for no reason as he rode his bike by a black man, when they spend 75 years talking about the anti-white terror attack in Waukesha, the Christmas parade, when they do any of that, okay, maybe we can.
No, they don't even talk about them now, and they're much.
They don't talk about them as they happen. That's exactly right, Keith. And I just got to say this, my friend. When you want to talk about interracial murders, how about 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1? I think the reason they talk so much about Emmett Till was it was perhaps the last time it happened. But black on white murders is something that happens it happens all the time. It happens all the time, and so often it is race-related. So, you know, no, I'm not going to cry crocodile tears over this. It's not a good thing that it happened. It's a murder. It is what it is. People get murdered all the time. But
it's one death.
This is sick, and they're going. It's one death. That's right. It's one death, and here they are trying to basically add another one to the pile. I mean, they want to kill this woman, I guess.
And they had more. They had like 10 or more killed in Chicago just over the 4th of July weekend. So
yeah, I didn't see anybody upset about
that. Some lives are more important than others. And see, this is, I knew, for example, 5 years ago when I saw that presentation, there was a professor named Timothy Tyson that wrote a new book called The Blood of Emmett Till. And it was quite obvious to me, listening to that presentation, they were going to go after Carolyn Bryant Donovan. By the way, I called her Mylon before. My bad. It's Bryant. And her husband was Roy Bryant. You know, all the details were set out great in great detail by a journalist named William Bradford Huey, who worked for Look magazine and got Bryant and Milam, Roy Milam, and Roy Bryant, and I think it's his cousin was the Milam guy, to confess that they had done the murder and all the circumstances about it. But the thing that is important regarding Carolyn Bryant was that in that article, it was not her who told her husband about the incident. In fact, she didn't want to tell him because she knew that what type of reactions he would have. He would be outraged, as you know most husbands would, if their wife had been sexually harassed. So instead, the person that broke the news to him was a black man that worked in the Bryant grocery. Now, I would not be at all surprised if that information is now purged from the William Bradford Huey article. I had a copy of that at one time, but they have, I tried to find it on the internet last night and couldn't. This is what they're doing. This is a kickoff event. But first of all, Emmett Till's death was a kickoff event. The left was all ready to kick off the civil rights movement. They needed a kickoff event, and Till's death provided that kickoff event, just like the left has been waiting around for a kickoff event to take down the Confederate flag and Confederate monuments. Dylann Roof's murders were the kickoff event for that.
Well, and it actually says
it's
this
not like they're planning them, but they're waiting for something like that to happen so that they can move their agenda forward, and that's what they're doing. And poor Carolyn Bryant, they're going to try their best to put her in jail. When she was interviewed by Timothy Tyson, the author of that new book, she simply said he didn't do anything that he deserved to be killed for. And I guess sexual harassment would not be something that you would think somebody should be killed for. She was trying to be a nice, gracious, polite Southern lady. She didn't know the type of sidewinder she was dealing with. People, and again, it's just like the Nazi situation with prison camp guards, and it's for a reason. Basically, Jewish power and influence is behind all of this. They do not forgive. They do not forget. They're like they said about the Bourbon dynasty in France, that they forgot nothing about history, that they learned nothing from history and forgot nothing. Well, that's the same with the Jewish left. They want her. They want her head on a pike. And just like they wanted that 101-year-old former German prison guard's head on a pike, they're running out of people. They're going to do like the Cavaliers did to Oliver Cromwell. They dug up his body, tried him in absentia, then chopped off the head of the corpse. That's what they're going to have. That's what they're just about. You know, they're running out of people from the World War II era. They're also running out of people from the Civil Rights era. But they got to keep all of this front and center. And the fact that the Daily Mail is doing this, which is usually considered to be more conservative than most legacy media outlets, shows we're still dealing with this worshipful regard for the civil rights movement. You know, even the Daily Mail can be determined to carry
well,
water
listen,
for the left.
Let me give you a little more information here. The headline reads, and it is one hell of a headline. I've never seen a headline this long. This is the actual headline. It was the lynching of a black teen that kickstarted the civil rights movement. Now, as new documents implicate the white wife who picked out Emmett Till, David Jones travels to Mississippi to track her down. And David Jones, I don't know who he is, but in this context,
he's
in
not
this
the
instance,
one that was in the monkeys. Okay.
No, he's that one's in heaven. But this one is the leader in this context of this group of terrorists that are going around banging on doors in the houses that they believe she may be
at.
She
has every
and he wrote
reason
the. But here's the
careful.
Thing, Keith. He wrote the entire article. It's written by him for the Daily Mail, so there's not a lot of nuance there. And he even included this picture so kindly of him and his gang here doing this. So, look, as I said, you're going to murder somebody, and it was a murder. You murder somebody, you got to pay the price for that, but I'm not going to pretend to care. I can't force myself to pretend to
and
get upset about one
Carolyn
death.
Carolyn Bryant didn't murder anyone. In fact, she didn't even want to tell her husband about it. When he confronted her about it, she admitted what happened, but the person that gave the information to her husband that got the ball rolling was another black guy, okay? A black guy that worked in the Bryant Grocery. Now, that was very clearly set out in the William Bradford Huey article, but William Bradford Huey's article, for some reason, is mysteriously missing from the internet now.
Well, we got to get off of Emmett Till. There's nothing, there's no one, no case, no historical occurrence that I'd rather talk about any less than this. But if it keeps coming up, I guess we got to keep talking about it.
Well, they'll continue to resurrect things because they have nothing current that is good for them and bad for us as white Southerners. They have to resurrect a 67-year-old murder case of one black teenager. How many black teenagers have been killed last weekend in America by other blacks? Well, you know, it beggars belief. No telling how many it has been.
But it doesn't matter.
I
got to say this. I'm reading more of this story as you speak. It's they write in this that members of the new Black Panthers are going to put pressure on the district attorney to press charges against her. So you've got this this organization, this militant group that's going out and banging on doors trying to find this woman. They're going to district attorneys trying to threaten them or persuade them, however they do it, to bring charges.
They found a subpoena in the court file where the original prosecutor wanted to bring her into question, and they're using that as their pretext for resurrecting the whole episode so they can find one more white scalp.
Onto the pyre. That's right. All right. Well, we'll get off of it. We're gonna shift gears now and talk about things more uplifting with the first of three Pauls. Paul Angel next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A Securities and Exchange Commission filing shows Tesla CEO Elon Musk has filed to exit a multi-billion dollar deal with Twitter over concerns about its spam bots and the lack of transparency at Twitter for the information. The Consumer Price Index for June comes out Wednesday, with inflation already at a 30-year high under the Biden administration. Economists on Fox Business say this report will show inflation continues to be out of control. Yardeni Research President Edward Yardeni.
It's going to be bad news again. I think it'll be up something like 1.1%. We all have to spend money on food, fuel, and rent. Lower income, lower wage workers are the ones that are getting squeezed hardest because they have no choice but to allocate most of their budget to these essentials.
We are USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Arizona is moving forward with school vouchers, meaning the money that state pays for a child's education will follow the student and not directly to the public school where some are being accused of indoctrinating children.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey is expanding the state school voucher program to all of the more than 1 million public school students in the state. Rebecca Fredericks, founder of the Kids and Country, says this means that public schools will no longer have a monopoly on public financing.
This is no small victory because for too long, students and their teachers have been trapped in failing schools run by the K-12 cartel, also known as so-called teacher unions.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, Fredericks adding parents and teachers are finally awake after the COVID pandemic. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News.
The Better Call Paul installment of TPC, the All Paul Show, the first of three Pauls, Paul Ramsey and Paul Fromm, coming up later this evening. But right now, Paul Angel, the editor-in-chief of the Barnes Review, is with us. And I tell you, Paul, every time we have somebody on from TBR, whether it be you or the associate editor, John Friend, another good friend of ours, Keith lights up like his boyhood self on Christmas morning. It's great to have you back, Paul.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Keith, you were talking with Paul there during the commercial break, and why don't you share with the audience your thoughts?
I told him that I am glad to receive the Barnes Review and that I keep a copy of it with me in my briefcase so that if I ever have any spare time on my hands, I can pull it out and read some good history. Read some good revisionist history. In fact, you know, that's high praise. There are a lot of things that we get in the mail that I could be reading, but my go-to source of good and really insightful history is the Barnes Review. I would recommend any of you to read the Barnes Review, and I defy you to tell. It gives you a slant on history that is not going to be found in the court histories that you read, that you were taught about in school. But what you hear in the Barnes Review, they go back to the original sources. It's basically undeniably true history. And it's so different from the history that we all get that I think all of us need to read the Barnes Review just to be informed about our history.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a subscriber and I'm a big fan. And again, we've got the editor-in-chief himself, so let's let him talk about it. Paul, we've had you on a couple of times before, one time specifically just to plug the Barnes Review. We'll do a little bit of that and then get into some current events as well. But let's go back to the founding of it, its history, where it stands now, and some latest issues and content and things like that. It's not just the content, though, Keith, and everybody else. The presentation of this journal is really quite excellent.
Well, they, Paul, take it away. Top right, the writers are not only very good historians, they're very talented writers. Every article I've read is interesting. Even on a subject you might think is dry, you start reading that article and you can't put it down.
Listen, you guys keep talking. Because I couldn't get a better promo for the Barnes
Review. We got to get the guest in here.
The good news is that we're approaching now our 30th year of publishing this magazine, which I always thought was in itself a miracle, considering it's completely politically incorrect. And I mean, Keith, you better watch out what countries you're passing through with in your briefcase, because you might end up getting it confiscated or having a small talk with the security there in the airport. We've had a lot of troubles getting our magazine up to Canada because they've come up with hate laws. Of course, none of this stuff is really hate. It's just true history. But
Canada is terrible. And you know that you're right. You need to be wary of that, but it's still worth the risk, as far as I'm concerned, because the information is.
Yeah, well, we've had a few. It seems like they're stepping up the security at the borders, because we've also had shipments of books confiscated and they've mysteriously broken open. But that's the bad news. The good news is that we're still here in business after 30 years, still fighting the powers at bay, still putting the magazine out. And until they change the laws in the United States about free speech, although we do know that it's been restricted drastically in the past few years, especially through the financial outlets, that we're still able to do it. And so, yeah, we try to cover just about all periods in history. People do have a preference. They do love World War II history, and they love hearing about the nationalists in Germany and Hitler. And, when, of course, the discussion of the Holocaust is super taboo everywhere else, but not here. We've got some of the greatest chemists and scientists and revisionists looking at that all the time. There's not much more to prove. Excuse me. We have debunked nearly the official story about every case, every camp, excuse me. But over the past, since the beginning of the year, and it's something we always do, is to try to find historical events that really tie into what's happening today. And, of course, there's lots happening today. And so our first issue this year was on the Bitter Enders down in South Africa and the Battle of the Boers to, you know, retain some sovereignty and to have their own government. And that didn't go so well. They fought to the bitter end. It reminded me here of good conservative people and a white group being us whites in this country being under attack on a daily basis, our population numbers diminishing, our opportunities being purposely restricted under the guise of racism. I think the couple other issues we've had this year were very much related to the situation in Ukraine and Russia. We had one recent issue on the Russo-Japanese War, which basically was the thrust of that article, was how the major powers have always been trying to hem in Russia and pushing small countries to challenge them, very much similar to what's happening today with Ukraine and Russia, happened between Japan and Russia, and the cartoons of the period of the Russo-Japanese War would show the English and the French and the Americans, the symbolism, Uncle Sam and John Bull, pushing a little Japanese soldier to fight the Great Bear. And we've also had one on the Crimean War in the past six issues, I believe, which really went into what was going on there. And it's the same old thing that's been going on with Russia for 500 years. They want access to
world. Let me say this, Paul. Let me say this. I read that article on Crimea. I think it was 2019, or it was obviously before the Ukrainian-Russian war began. And your magazine predicted that war, said it's going to happen. I think people need to know that.
And people better watch out, because there's lots of stuff repeating itself, too. Of course, that war was all about by the British to maintain their supremacy in the world, and they would turn anybody against them, didn't matter who. The Turks and the Russians have fought at least 12 wars over the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus Straits, so Crimea is extremely important. But the way we've pushed Zelensky, and he's pushed us, too, to fight this war. I think 50,000 people have now perished, Ukrainians, probably another 10,000 or so, Russians. But I thought we had, and so I'd be interested also in hearing what you guys think about Putin, because from my, and I'll just say this quickly, from my point of view, I'm still pretty mad at him. I thought we had kind of a tacit agreement here among white European nations that we would no longer slaughter each other in the tens of thousands or the millions. But here it is happening again. So I'm just so irritated that we've learned nothing from history, how this is going to go. Thousands and thousands of people will die, and probably whatever land is lost or gained will be fought for again in another 10 or 20 years. So I was interested. Well, Paul, what do you guys think about Putin?
Well, here's the situation, first of all. The same people that started this war, the people that got us into World Wars I and II, the Jews. Zelensky is Jewish. He was put in power by one of these Jewish oligarchs that had been run out of Russia by Putin. My feeling about Putin is that I'm not ready to say that he is the best thing since floating soap. He's not. But on the other hand, I think that the Ukrainian people and the nation of Ukraine would be much better off and better served by being under the orbit or within the sphere of influence of Russia than in the sphere of influence of America and NATO.
Right.
What they want is to make Ukraine, which already has a sex trafficking problem because they have a lot of poor people and they have a lot of beautiful women. So the Jewish oligarchs have gotten involved with all these dating services, things like this. But the West wants them to be part of the world liberal democracy, which means they want them to be part of Globo Homo. I don't think the people in Ukraine are really going to be well served by having teachers tell them that their child's gender identity needs to be changed without the parents' approval. See, this
right.
is, you know, this is crazy stuff. Nobody that knows anything about the West wants anything to do with us. The Arabs don't, the Russians don't, and if the Ukrainians do, it's because they bought a bill of goods and they're not seeing the big picture.
Keith, hold on right there, and Paul, hold on right there, if you don't mind, my friend. I would just chime in very quickly before we take a break, and we've got Paul Angel of the Barnes Review for one more segment. We're going to give you all that information on how you can subscribe and check out their website in just a moment. But yes, I mean, what you're talking about is quite true. It is a terrible thing when you have any sort of a brother's war or skirmish or whatever is going on over here, and certainly whites are going to be losing their lives. They'll lose their soul if they stay under the Washington-NATO orbit, and that's something to consider as well. But for a good take on this from a man on the ground, Charles Balsman of RussiaInsider.com has been on our show a couple of times this year to talk about it, most recently just a few weeks ago when Sam Dixon co-hosted that interview with me. And Charles has been reporting and living live in he was reporting live and has been living in Moscow now for some months. It was actually a big screed in the New York Times about Charles Balsman on the 4th of July weekend. And they couldn't get a hold of him. Of course, we can. But he has a pretty good take, I think, on it. And, of course, I think generally my opinion of Putin is quite favorable. But, of course, Paul, that's the other side of the argument, and that's one that has to be considered as well. Brothers' wars. You can't have them. You don't want it to last long. But we're going to take a break here. And we've got Paul Angel of the Barnes Review, and he'll be back with us in 3 minutes' time. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Paul Angel of the Barnes Review. We say this every time we ask you to do something, or rather encourage you to consider doing something, and I want you to consider subscribing to the Barnes Review, but as we always say, we don't ask you to do anything that we're not doing already. I am a subscriber to the Barnes Review, and a proud one at that, so if I subscribe to it, I would encourage you to do so as well. We wouldn't ask you to support something that we're not supporting here, and you can do that by going to barnesreview.org. Barnes is B-A-R-N-E-S, barnesreview.org. It is a journal of politically incorrect history. Don't take my word for it. It's on the very masthead of the publication, where they bring history into accord with the facts. And we have now its editor-in-chief, Paul Angel, and I see on the cover of the current issue, or the issue that is just being mailed right now, big feature on Judah Benjamin. So now, it was interesting that the only Jewish guy in the Confederacy ended up being the Confederate States Attorney General, the Secretary of War, Secretary of State, and a little bit more than that, too. Did he say some things I agree with? Absolutely, he certainly did. But is there more to Judah Benjamin than meets the eye? That's a question the Barnes Review is tackling in this issue that is going out now to subscribers. You can be one by going to barnesreview.org.
Well,
Paul, yeah.
Let Paul say this. Well, let me just say this first of all. Paul, I have a handwritten letter from Judah Benjamin to one of my wife's ancestors giving him authority to raise troops for the Confederacy. and I've been offered like $1,500 from it from Antiquarian. So, you know, Peter Benjamin is definitely, he was a big player in the Confederacy.
But was he, what was going on behind the scenes? That's what they're digging into in TBR. So tell us about it, Paul.
Well, Benjamin is always included in the pantheon of great Confederate heroes, right? He served a vital function during that time. A recent author has written a book. I don't know how recent it was, but one of my authors there, Mark Rowland, had read the book and found some Rothschild connections, and so and very tight connections too, and whether or not he was running some scams on the side. But there's also the question of who was running the country when Davis was sick for those few times, right? He missed months of time from, what was it, malaria? Whatever it was, I think it was the same thing that killed his wife earlier in life. So there were times when Davis was slightly incapacitated, and it looks like Benjamin jumped up to take control. You know, that would have been his natural role, I believe. Although you might think the vice president did. I don't know exactly what the evolution of Benjamin's positions in the Confederacy were. But at any rate, the question is also whether during one of those times when Davis was incapacitated, as discussed in this article, it's whether or not Benjamin might have approved the assassination of Lincoln. So people are going to have to read that story themselves. It's certainly a different take on that particular character and point in history. And of course, the other point is that poor Davis ends up in leg irons and shackles in Fortress Monroe, while Benjamin is able to get himself to England and lives quite a lucrative career as a barrister, right, for many years. And so it's an interesting story. We take a strongly pro-South view in our magazine. And by the way, we'd also talk about repeating history. I'm almost wondering if today, when we look at the United States, the secession isn't a real viable option and what they might do if states decided
Amen.
To secede
yep.
today. You know, so that was interesting. But there's a bunch of other stuff in there, too. A small piece on Albert Einstein. I think he's been covered before occasionally, but the question being whether or not he was the true genius behind many of his inventions and what his history was. And some other stuff and some off the top of my head, I'm not.
Look, if you want to get really good history, if you want to know what's really going on, if you want to be an informed student of history, you owe it to yourself to get the Barnes Review. Now, Judah Benjamin, getting back to him, he had a plantation down in the southern part of Florida that apparently the Yankees didn't know about, and they couldn't locate him until he was able to book passage and get himself over to England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have always been rumors about did he take the Confederate gold with him or something, but because he sure did seem to land on his feet in England. But he was, you know, you really need to understand his involvement in the Civil War to understand the Confederate perspective properly. And by the way, one other personal note, have you ever heard of Waddesdon Manor, Paul?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
It's the ancestral home of the English Rothschilds, and I had my grandmother's father and mother were both servants at Waddesdon Manor, I found out.
Right.
So,
you got quite a connection there.
Yeah, really. You know, with both Ben and with Rothschild. Who knew?
I would say this very quickly, folks. I just want to work this in. I want to toss it back over to our featured guest of the hour, Paul Angel. But BarnesReview.org, if I were not already a subscriber, I'd want to read the TBR treatment on Judah Benjamin as an interested amateur historian of the South myself. Go to BarnesReview.org there in the top right corner. You just click on TBR print subscription. It's not going to break the bank, and you're going to get this multiple times throughout the year, and you're not going to be an unhappy customer. What's the price on that, Paul?
It's $56 a year inside the United States, 80 pages every issue, usually with an expanded issue around September, October. And one of ours was, by the way, Defending Dixie. So if you happen to call up the office, we can give them the 800. Give them the 800, and they're open Monday through Thursday. It's 1-877-773-9077. Subscription offer for the Barnes Review on with James Edwards, right? And the political cesspool, and maybe they'll throw in the Defending Dixie issue, which is 124 pages.
Ah.
You guys remember that when you used it yourself as one?
Sure,
that'd be a good offer.
I've
so
got
ask
it.
Them for the Hey, there you go. Ask them for the best offer. Go in there. That was a good collection of stuff. This year's expanded issue will probably be dealing with ancient history. We've been focusing so much on modern history and recent history and Jewish history and Russian history this year that we wanted to mix it up a little bit and get to some of the mysteries of history, which was a looks like an exciting issue coming up. Some of the pyramid mysteries, some of the mysteries of the Americas that don't make sense. Who got here before Columbus? Who got to South America? What other mysteries there are? History of the Aryans will be in there, at least some portion of it. And so that looks like an exciting thing. So we like to cover every aspect of history because our readership is very varied. The reason I was asking you about Putin earlier was because, of course, I have to read through the letters. Many of them say, wow, you're the greatest in the world. Others will say you're the worst thing that's ever happened in history, right? But a lot of people have a varied opinion about Putin, and I had a letter from the other guy, a longtime subscriber who made me think, I like Putin, by the way. I don't like the war. I wish there, and we could have avoided this war if we just would have respected their legitimate security.
If we had done what he had asked us to do, which was to commit in writing that Ukraine would not be allowed to join NATO.
Pretty simple thing, right? And the real solution to this could have happened years earlier when Putin and Clinton met, and Putin at the end of the meeting said, well, I guess you're not going to be asking us to join NATO. Why didn't we ask them to join NATO? And so Putin ends up by saying, well, it's obvious you don't want us as a friend, but you don't want us as an enemy. And that was in the 90s. And so it's just been a slow move, crawl towards this war. And then inevitably, it's just because it's the same old thing, right? Well, the same thing as the Crimean War, same thing as the Russo-Japanese War. It really is making sure that either the Brits, whoever's running the show, or the Americans right now, it's either a British New World Order or an American World Order. And we just want
to. Or Jewish World Order, Paul.
Well, that's true also.
They're running both of us. And, you know, that's what we need to. Well, there's this animus, this historical animus that Jews have against Russia that is playing itself out again.
Right.
Of course, it was suspended during the Soviet period because the Soviet Union was basically run by Jewish interests.
Right, right. But it is the same old story. And now we're talking, possibly Pompeo was out there last week talking about militarily and financially challenging Russia and China. I don't know where this is all going, but it's pure stupidity. Because what's going on inside this country have problems that are all self-created by radical liberals or by liberals. And but the other side of the coin is when we put too much faith in the Republicans, we realize that they're not much of an answer either many times. They might give us a small bulwark against this march towards a Marxist state here, and frankly. But they don't do much. You know what I mean? I was looking at, I just wrote a fundraiser for TBR the other day, and I looked at the number of congressmen and congresswomen who are in their mid-80s to low 90s and how long they've been in office. Who was it who said, anybody who enters politics poor and comes out rich is a thief? And I think it was Harry Truman said that. And that's what all these politicians, we can talk about Russia and the problems, but the problems too, and the Jewish control of the banking industry and the media, especially the media, because the media and the political parties have created this hatred amongst Americans now. We used to have this that bound us together, no matter what race they were. We could at least say, I'll help that person because he's an American. Nowadays, that has no meaning at all because they've convinced half of the country that America is a horrible place to be living in. It could get better, but politicians and the news media, I think, are our two biggest problems that we face today. And I'm not sure we can overcome it unless we can break this Republican-Democrat hold on politics and get honest news in the media, which you know we're not getting.
And it's still Russia.
One thing, too, you know, Russia is white, so are we. We really do need to be allied with them.
I believe so.
Well,
they
could be the key to our very survival. Go, Paul. We got about a minute to go.
Hey, listen, are we not natural allies with this country? Did they not come to Lincoln's aid?
Absolutely.
Were they like the North or South during the Civil War with the thing? Have they not? Did we not fight together in multiple wars, whether or not we agree with them politically or not? The solutions to our problems. You need to know history, so subscribe to the Barnes Review, and then you'll get yourself a new take on history that I think will be refreshing for people not to be so watered down with political correctness.
With our complete endorsement. Amen. And with our own subscriptions here at the forefront, let us remind you that we are asking you to consider subscribing to the Barnes Review. BarnesReview.org, click on the subscribe link there. You can't miss it. And there's some audio content there, too, in addition to the print content there at the website. Of course, we want you to get the print journal And you have to subscribe to get the full money. But I see an interview with another one of our friends, Remy Tremblay, who was with us during our March Around the World series back earlier this spring. So they're allied with all the right people, and we're happy to be allied with them. Paul Angel, thank you for your time this evening, and we will talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Keep up the good work.
God bless you both.
God bless you.
God bless you.
We'll be back with Paul Ramsey, or Ramsey Paul, if you will, in the second hour.